Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
In an article on the Desiring God website, Greg Morse wrote a very personal and very candid testimony of his Christian life. He entitles the article, How Not to Stay Lukewarm. I want to quote some of what he writes in this article. He says this, I did not have a category for someone thinking they were a follower of Christ and not actually being one. I had never read that there were people who on Judgment Day who would emphatically greet Jesus, calling him Lord, Lord, and yet be rejected by him. I didn't cuss much. I wasn't sleeping around. I went to church most Sundays. Certainly, I must be a Christian. I said that Jesus died for my sins. I sang the lyrics on the screen. I prayed before meals. I gave God props for my athletical achievements. Certainly, I must be a Christian. Sure, God wasn't my all in all. Sure, I never read his word. Sure, I didn't pray much. Sure, I secretly loved sin. Sure, holiness seemed dreadfully boring. Sure, I rarely owned him in public or spent time with him in private, but he understood. I'm only human. Nobody's perfect. I imagined, he says, I feasted at the table of grace, drank from the chalice of eternal life, but I was eating garbage and drinking sewer water. I was dreaming like those described in the book of Isaiah, where it says, it shall even be as when a hungry man dreams, and look, he eats, but he awakes and his soul is still empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreams, and look, he drinks, but he awakes, and indeed he is faint, and his soul still craves. So the multitude of all the nations shall be who fight against Mount Zion. And Greg Morse continues, and he says, I kept myself in my delusion, muting my conscience and convincing myself that I was right with God by this simple strategy. What was his strategy? He says this, I refused to read God's book, and I measured myself by the people around me. I refused to read God's book, and I measured myself by the people around me. And I'm here to tell you that this is the plight of those professing Christians in America today. They refuse to read God's book, and they measure themselves by the people around them. He goes on, I prayed like the Pharisee. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, fornicators, liars, adulterers. I wouldn't know I was a Christian, he says, without them. When a duck compares himself to other ducks, he crowns himself a swan. When I was lukewarm, God's book was collecting dust in my room, unopened. Then God led me to his word, he says, and saved me. The lukewarm churchianity was consumed by living faith in the consuming God of the Bible. And there may be some here today that are sitting here in the chairs and they're saying, wow, that sounds a lot like my Christian life today. That looks a lot like my experience, if we were honest. So you may want to take some time this week and read through the scriptures I provided in your notes. These are some of the scriptures that helped Greg in his pursuit of God and drawing close to God. Father, we want to ask you, Lord, that you would come to our lives and speak to us, because, Lord, we don't want to be lukewarm. No one's coming here on Sundays so they can live a lukewarm Christian life. None of us. Lord, we want to be on fire for you. We want to be passionate about you. We want your word to be alive in our hearts and our minds and upon our lips. Father, we want our faith to be real and to be relevant. And Lord, to radiate to those that we live around, that we live with. And so, Lord, we ask that you would ignite a fire and a passion within us. Lord, we desire fresh manna each day. We don't want stale manna. We don't want yesterday's manna. We don't want to live on yesterday's experience. We want a fresh, new, living, real experience with you today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was praying about this message and the word that God would have for us for this year, 2018, I was drawn to the passage in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3. So you might want to turn there with me, 1 Samuel chapter 3. I believe it has some insights for us about listening to the voice of the Lord. 1 Samuel 3, starting at verse 1. Then the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow dim, that he could not see. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went, and he lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he answered, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Verse 7. Now Samuel did not know that it was the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time. Then he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. So verse 1 tells us that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. So it had been a long time since God had spoken to his people. His prophets and his leaders had not heard the voice of the Lord, a fresh revelation of the Lord, in many years. Why? Well, we find out as we proceed on in this chapter that it was because of the sin of the leadership in Israel that God had ceased to speak to them. And you know, sin can hinder us from hearing God's voice. Sin, we're told, hinders us from hearing the voice of God, but also we're told that it hinders us from having our prayers heard by God and answered. And so sin blocks our communication with God, as it blocked communication here in these days. In verse 2, notice it says, "But the Lord called out to Samuel." I love that. Because the Lord is still seeking. He's looking for those that will hear his voice. God sees our hearts, and he knows those that long to hear his voice, that will listen when he speaks. In fact, we're told that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. So God wants to talk to the people. He wants to talk to his people. And get this, God wants to talk to you and he wants to talk to me. He's looking. He's actually searching the earth. Who can I talk with? Who is going to hear my voice, listen to what I have to say, obey me? Who wants to even hear my voice? God desires to speak to us. And did you notice in verse 2 and 3, it's this lamp of God is still burning in the tabernacle. The writer wants to include this information for us. Now, the lamp of God is still lit in the tabernacle. They also include some other information that Eli had trouble with his eyesight. So the lamp of God needed to continually be replenished with oil. It's the candelabra, the seven stick candles, that was in the tabernacle there. And it needed to have fresh oil always continually refilled. And one of the obligations and jobs and duties of the priest was to keep that oil replenished so that the lamp would continue to burn brightly. And so it seems, though, that Eli's eyes are dim. So he has a problem with his eyesight, and it indicates to me that Samuel, as a child servant of Eli, is being used by Eli to actually perform some of the duties of the priest because he is impaired because of his eyesight. And so there's Samuel. He's ready to help him. And we're told that Samuel heard a voice, but he doesn't know it's God speaking. So he hears the voice, but he doesn't know whose voice it is. He doesn't know it's the word of the Lord. He doesn't know it's God speaking to him. And he actually doesn't know how to respond to God, does he? So Eli the high priest helps Samuel make himself ready. He helps him to prepare to know how to be ready to hear God's voice. How to help Samuel to just invite God to speak to him. Have we made ourselves ready? Do we invite him to speak to us? Are we ready for God to say something to our lives each day? Do we make ourselves ready? Do we prepare our hearts and our minds? Do we invite him, Lord, speak to me. I want to hear what you have to say. Perhaps you're here today and the word of the Lord is rare in your life. Perhaps you don't hear the voice of God speaking as you have your devotional, your prayer time. And you go, you know what? I used to hear him. I used to feel like I had this communication with God, but it's not like it used to be. Perhaps in your life, the word of the Lord is rare. And you know, sin can hinder that communication that we want to have with God. But I believe God is still looking for those whom he can speak to, who are listening for his voice. He still wants to speak. He hasn't changed. Perhaps you don't know how to respond to God. Perhaps you're not sure, how do I respond to the Lord? Who let the dogs out? So have we made ourselves ready for the voice of the Lord? Or does God's voice just sound like a barking dog to you? Just annoying. Verse 10. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you, and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things which he said to you." Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So in the previous verses, in verse 4, in verse 6, and verse 8, God calls out to Samuel. He calls to Samuel, but then in verse 10, did you notice something different happens? God doesn't just call out to Samuel, but first it says that the Lord came and stood near him. So now God is getting even closer. He's getting more personal. He's coming and drawing close to Samuel, and now he's going to call him by name. And he calls out, "Samuel, Samuel." It's interesting what his name means. Samuel's name means this: he who listens to God, or he who hears God. That's his name. That's actually the meaning of his name. Now, understand this. The implication of the meaning of his name, he who listens to God, or he who hears God, is that not only does he hear God's voice, he listens to him, but he obeys. Always in Scripture, if you hear the voice of God, it means and implies obedience. If you don't obey, then you haven't heard him. So you don't even know him. You don't hear his voice if you're not obeying his voice. So hearing and obeying kind of comes hand in hand. And so he says, "Speak, for your servant hears." God calls Samuel by name. Why? Because he wants to speak to him personally. God wants to speak to Samuel personally. God had a personal message, a personal revelation of himself that he wanted Samuel to know him personally. How do I know that? Verse 21. It's easy to miss. It's the last chapter, last verse of the chapter. But it goes on and it says, "Then the Lord appeared to him again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh." And how did he do it? By the word of the Lord, or by speaking to him. Now that word "revealed" is a very interesting word. The word "revealed" means this. It means to strip away or to uncover oneself, to lay oneself bare. Or actually disrobe. It's actually just, you're naked. It also implies that of sharing secrets with someone. So we could say that God shared himself very intimately, very personally. He shared secrets with Samuel. He revealed himself to him. He didn't hide from him. He revealed himself. Samuel knew the Lord very intimately, very personally. But also, God spoke to Samuel prophetically. So he spoke personally, but he also spoke to Samuel prophetically. He spoke to Samuel about the future. God wanted to share with Samuel what he was going to do. Did you notice it in verse 11? It says, "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle.'" What was God going to do? He was going to bring judgment, and that judgment is listed out for us in chapter 4. So if you want to read about it, you can read about what the fulfillment of God's judgment was in chapter 4. Pretty radical. Would God have still judged Eli and his house without telling Samuel first? More or less, did God have to tell Samuel? And did God telling Samuel, would that have any way to change what God had already determined as judgment against Eli and his house? Not at all. In fact, we're even told that God had already spoken to Eli personally and told him he was going to judge his house. So Eli already knew it. It was just a confirmation. But the fact that God told Samuel beforehand didn't change what was going to happen. chapter 4 was going to take place, just as it's written, whether Samuel found out about it beforehand, whether God spoke to him there in the temple or not. So if it didn't change anything, it didn't matter. It wasn't like, oh, God, Samuel could tell Eli the word of the Lord and Eli could repent and then everything would change. No, that wasn't it at all. Why did God speak to Samuel then? It wasn't going to change the outcome. Why did he prophetically tell Samuel what the future was going to be? There was nothing he could do to change it. But see, God told Samuel prophetic secrets specifically because he wanted to partner with Samuel in service to the people. This was God's way of partnering with Samuel. It's still God's way of partnering with his servants. He tells his servants what's going to happen in the future so that he can partner with his people in service to the lost in this world. In fact, do you realize a fourth to one third of the Bible is prophecy? There's still a lot in the Word of God that's to be fulfilled. It's still in the future. And you and I have access to know it. God's still speaking prophetically to his people, and he wants us to share that prophetic word. Is it going to change his prophetic determination of his plan on this earth? Not one bit. But it may change the eternal destiny of those that hear it. Amen? That's our hope, isn't it? And so God wants to tell prophetic secrets to his prophets for two reasons. One, to establish them in ministry that, yes, they are truly God's servant. But secondly, it's because God loves to tell his secrets to his prophets. It's kind of like you and I. If we have a secret we're going to do, let's say you're going to give someone this really cool gift, and you can't keep that from your best friend, unless it's them you're giving it to, but let's say you're giving it to somebody else. Your best friend's over here. It's like you want to tell them, oh, I can't wait till I give them. You want to explain all this stuff to them. Why? You want to share your secrets that you might not tell with other people, but you want to share it with those that are close to you. God's the same way. He wants to share secrets with us. He did it with others, not just Samuel. He did it with David. He did it with Abraham. He does it with all Daniel. There's all sorts of people he shares secrets with, the Apostle Paul. He wants to share his secrets with his people. He wants to share secrets with you and with me. Yeah, he's still doing that today. He's still speaking personally and prophetically to his servants today. He wants to speak to your life, to my life, personally. He wants to take his word and apply it to our personal situation, our circumstances, our heart. He wants it to be alive and real for us in a personal way. But he also wants to tell us what's going to happen in the future so that we might partner with him and his plans. Did you notice verse 17? It says, and Eli said, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you, and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you. So what did Eli do? He sought Samuel out. First thing in the morning, Eli's like, hey, what happened? What did he say? He wanted to hear a fresh word from God. He wanted to know the will of God, didn't he? He wanted to know what was going to happen in the future. And where did Eli go to find all those things out? To Samuel. He went to God's servant. He knew God spoke to this servant, this little servant Samuel. And he said, I want to know the word of the Lord. And I believe there are people all around us today, you and I, people we come in contact that are the same way today. They want to hear a fresh word from God. They want to know what is God up to? What's going to happen in the future? They want to know the secrets of God. Who are they going to find them out from? Only from the friends of God. They need to listen to God's voice, but they can't hear it. Who's God speaking to? To his servants. So we need to hear from God. We need to hear what God is speaking so that we can therefore have a message to speak to those around us. And that's why I want to invite you to join me on this journey that I believe God wants to take us on in 2018. It's a journey to hear God's voice more clearly. I want to hear God's voice more clearly in 2018. And I believe that God wants to speak to all of us as a church community. He wants to speak to us more clearly, that we could hear His voice better. And how can we best hear God's voice when He speaks to us? Than by knowing Him and hearing Him through His Word that He's revealed to us. And so as we spend systematic time in reading God's revealed Word, the Bible, together, I believe God will speak to us. Now, for decades, and I literally mean that, decades, I have wanted to lead our church on a Bible reading plan through the year. I've wanted to do that for decades, but I have not, and I've resisted that desire, and I've been hindered for a lot of different reasons. But one of the biggest reasons is I think that most Bible reading plans are very burdensome. How many of you have done the read the Bible through a year? Okay, you've read the Bible in a year. How many? Okay, about 8 or 9 of you. It's very difficult. Okay, you're reading 4 to 5 chapters every day, every day. And I know that, and it's like the thought of trying to have everybody do that, I just think it's not realistic, it's burdensome, and it conflicts with what you may be doing already. You may have it on your heart that you got this favorite devotional that you want to do, and now Pastor Steve's telling you to read 4 or 5 chapters a day on top of my devotional. Or you could be like my mom. My mom has 3 devotionals a day she reads. 3. Now, she can't read them anymore, but her caregivers are reading her 3 devotionals to her every day. And she's done that for years. So I realize there's a lot of people, you have different Bible reading plans. What about women's Bible study? You got to read, for the study so you can kind of contribute. And you may have other Bible studies you're going to and a part of. So, like I said, the thought of challenging us and encouraging us all to read through the Bible in a year and a Bible reading plan has just seemed like I'm just putting these big old giant weights on the body. So I haven't wanted to do that. But I had this just stirring for the last 6 months, to be honest with you, of challenging us to read the Bible together through this year. So what I'm not doing is I'm not asking you to stop whatever you feel led to do this year. Whatever you've got on your heart, you got a devotional, you got a study you're in, don't do it. All I'm asking you to do is join with me and with others in the church in this Bible plan that I want to have you consider. Because what I'm asking you to do is prayerfully join us in a journey through the Scripture that we are going to go through this year that may be something new for some of you, and for others it may be just, quite frankly, a good review. So I've researched literally over 100 Bible plans. Okay, there's hundreds of Bible reading plans, and they're different degrees and different variations and whatnot. I came across one that just resonated with my heart and my spirit of what I felt like the Lord wanted for us. And it happens to be called Word of God Speak, which resonated too, because that's what I felt like the Lord was speaking to us for this word, this year, that the Word of God was going to speak to us more personally and more prophetically in this coming year. This devotional that I chose for us was actually created by a church in Florida called Community of Hope Church. And it's a Bible reading plan that's going to take us through the entire New Testament and then portions of the Old Testament. So selected portions to get the major themes and the persons, personalities of the Old Testament. The wonderful thing about this plan that I've chosen is it only requires you read 1 chapter a day. Now, you're not going to read through the entire Bible in a year, you're reading 1 chapter a day, but you will read every bit of the entire New Testament with this plan, and you will read all of the major significant portions of the Old Testament You just need to know in order to even understand the New Testament. Like, you need to have read the book of Jonah. You need to know who Ruth is. Ruth is important in the whole story of salvation. You need to know things about Daniel or David or Samson or Gideon or Abraham or Isaac and Jacob and Adam and Eve. There's certain parts of the Old Testament that are very important for all of us to understand because it relates to things we need to know in order to grasp the deeper truths of the New Testament. But there are a lot of parts of the Old Testament that aren't essential to know right away, but they are obviously, everything's important. And so with this plan that I've chosen here is you just read one chapter a day. So I'm excited because I think that we can all fit this into our lives. And what I want to do also this coming year is I'm going to take from the seven chapters that we've read that previous week as a congregation, and I'm going to take a text out of that seven chapters that I feel God wants us to teach on and focus on in our Sunday sermons together. So how many of you have heard of Haley's Bible Handbook? Okay. Pastor Chuck introduced me to this little gem. Before the internet, this was like one of the best little tools. This is still a great little book. It's an amazing book. And it's been edited and reprinted since 1927. There's over a million copies of this out there. How many of you know the story of Pastor Chuck and Calvary Chapel and how this little handbook was instrumental in the distinctives and in the movement of Calvary Chapel? How many of you heard Pastor Chuck talk about that? Really? The last service I had like eight or ten. Some of you have. Good. For others, it'll be new. Good. This won't be just review for you. On the cover page in the book, Pastor Chuck was reading it one day and he looked at the cover page and it says right here. It says, the most important page in this book is 814. It's got a lot of pages on it. It's all got archaeological discovery. He's got every book of the Bible kind of laid out with a digested understanding of every book. But Pastor Chuck thought, this guy's a pretty smart guy. And he says he's got the most important thing to share with me all the way on page 814. What is it? So he turned to 814 and it says this. The most important thing in this book is this simple suggestion, that each church have a congregational plan of Bible reading and that the pastor's sermon be the part of the Bible read the past week, thus connecting the pastor's preaching with the people's Bible reading. This suggestion, he says, if followed, would beyond any doubt whatever produce a revitalized church, provided the pastor himself thoroughly believes the Bible as God's word and puts his heart into the effort. That's a given. The church, he says, and the Bible go together. The church exists to proclaim and exalt the Christ of the Bible and for nothing else. A church that does not enthrone the Bible in the lives of its people is false to its mission. And he goes on and talks several pages about this. So Pastor Chuck said, it sounds good to me. He had run out of sermons to preach, and he thought, I'm just going to start my Bible reading plan for the church, and I'll start preaching from the previous 7 days that we've read together. And that's what started that Calvary Chapel way of teaching verse by verse through the Bible, is from Haley's little suggestion in his handbook. And of course, that dovetailed with the revival of the Jesus people is what exploded Calvary Chapel as a movement into, like 2,000 churches just in the United States alone. So what I want to do is I want to encourage you that you may be here and you might have gotten like, well, I'm just kind of going through the motions. to believe God to revitalize your faith through reading His Word. And like I said, as we go through it together, what's going to be neat is in the different studies, the different small groups that we have, that all of the different groups, we can talk about the same thing together. I heard that Bryson and Midia encouraged the youth. Are you doing it with the girls, or is Bryson thinking about with the guys doing this same study? I think he's thinking about with the guys. Did he talk about with the guys? So, like Paul and Rita can talk to Patrick about it because Patrick's going through it. And so different people, it connects the body into the Word of God in a neat way. So how do we do this? If I could have the ushers pass out these papers to everybody in the church today. This is the first 3 months of the Bible reading plan. You could go to the internet and get it right here at their Bible, at their website. It's on your paper, and you go down to January through March. But Suzette has put it all here together for us on this nice little piece of paper. It's a little easier than going to the website. But if you're one that says, oh, I want to look ahead and see how exactly it's done, you can go ahead here and get it all there. You'll notice we're going to start in Luke chapter 1 all the way through. By the time the 24th of this month, we'll be down to the book of Luke. We're going to go to chapter 1 of Acts and just keep going. And then we go into Mark and Galatians and 1 Corinthians and then 2 Corinthians and so on. It's going to be a fun way to just go through the Bible together. Now, how long does this take? It takes 3 to 7 minutes to read a chapter in the Bible. I'm going to warn you, and I like this. This is another thing I loved about this Bible reading plan. When are we most excited about these things? At the beginning, right? So what they did strategically was they took the books, two books that have the longest chapters in the whole Bible, is Luke and Acts. Those are some of the longest chapters in the whole Bible. So those are going to take you closer to 7 minutes to read through those chapters. Some chapters like Galatians is pretty short. You've got other ones that are short, take you 3 minutes. But the average chapter is going to take you probably between 7 minutes rather to read. So let's go through these slides, because I want to share with you about an app for your phone called YouVersion. How many of you know about this app? Okay. This app is the app I've recommended more than any other app I've ever had on my phone. Okay, I've shared it with more people, and I want to share it with you. This is, to me, the best Bible app for free. It's free. YouVersion. Let's go to the next slide. 303,818,871 and counting every second, a new download. So these 300 plus million people agree with me. It's an awesome Bible app. Okay. They have 1,588 versions that are available for you in this Bible app. 1,134 languages supported. I don't care what language you speak fluently here, they'll have it for you. Let's go to the next one. This little icon is what you're going to look for in your app store. I think the best way, you can do this on the computer, but the best way is on your tablet or your smartphone, okay, if you've got that. But I know some people don't have a smartphone. You have a semi-smartphone. So you can go to the computer and still get this information. But this is the icon you want to look for, this little Holy Bible. Let's go to the next slide. You say, well, is it in my platform? If you have an iPhone, an iPad, an Android, a BlackBerry, a Windows phone or a Windows 8 phone, Java, whatever that other one is, mobile, web, or Kindle, you can download this to your device. So it's there for everybody. Let me get some water here. Let's go to the next slide. So what you want to do is you want to download this app, and after you get it onto your phone, at the App Store, you're going to go to that button that says Plans. These are all these reading plans. Like I said, I looked through hundreds. There's over 100 reading plans here. What you want to go is to the search column and put Word of God Speak, and then just search it, and you'll come to this next slide shows you. This is the Bible reading plan. When I saw this, it just resonated with my heart. It's like, this is doable. It's got content. It's really, really something we can, I think, all do. Do you know how many New Year's resolutions people keep after February? 20%. I don't want you to be like that. At the end of the year, only 8% of the people that start things the new year finish them. Only 8%. So I want to challenge you on something that's doable. Can any of us not give less than 5 minutes a day to our Bible reading? I think it's important enough. You're here most every Sunday. I mean, it's important to you. Couldn't we do this? It takes 18 hours, according to Google, 18 hours and 20 minutes to read through the entire New Testament. So this whole plan that I'm talking about with the New Testament and the Old Testament portions, and the New Testament portion, we're going to be done with the New Testament mid-September, and then the last 3.5 months will be the sections and themes of the Old Testament. The whole thing will take about 30 hours the whole year to read. So it's 30 hours of reading in the whole year. You say, well, I don't read real well. No problem. I understand that. Do you know most Americans, according to Lifeway, actually listen to the Bible read by somebody else? That's how they get their Bible. They listen to it read by somebody else. And the beauty with New Version that I like about it, it's got audio Bibles, and it's got different versions of audio Bibles, so you can hear the Bible read. You can just... I got Apple CarPlay in my car. I can put it in my car and hear it over the speakers. I can put on my headphones when I'm taking a walk and hear it when I'm walking. You got it. At night, sometimes, Laura and I, we at bed, we just put it there and let it, we'll listen to it, just read to us as we're falling asleep. You've got the beauty of that ease if you have a smartphone. So I want to encourage you, there's just so many different ways to get your chapter a day in without it being burdensome, without it being overbearing. Let it be easy. But I want it also to be easy for two reasons. One is I don't want to circumvent what someone may feel that the Lord is already placing on their heart to do. Great. I think the more Bible reading you can do is the better. But also, I don't want you to just read through the Bible. If you've done a Bible reading plan where you've read through the Bible in a year, and I've done that, I will tell you the truth. What happens when you're on those plans of reading the Bible through a year where you got to read 4 to 5 chapters in the Bible, you're reading 2 chapters in the Old Testament, you're reading a chapter in Proverbs, you're reading a psalm every day, you're reading a chapter or two in the New Testament, you are reading 4 to 5 chapters a day. What happens is you are just marking time to get through it because it just takes a lot of time to read that much. And the problem with that is you're not allowing the Lord to speak to you personally. You're just rushing through over the words. That's what I haven't liked about a lot of the Bible reading plans. This one, because it only takes less than 5 minutes a day on an average, you actually have another 5 minutes to just sit and meditate, to ponder that, to allow the Lord to really prick your heart and speak to you personally about what is it in this chapter, God, that you want to say to me? Now, unfortunately, I don't have enough time to finish these 7 points that Charles Spurgeon had in your notes. I've got them listed there. I do have them listed out, but there's some other quotes by Charles Spurgeon that I was going to read, and I just don't have time to share them today, and I really didn't want to rush through it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Suzette to copy the article. There's an article on a website that I got some of this information from that quoted from Charles Spurgeon. I'm going to copy that article because I like his quotes on these different points, and I'm going to have that available to you next week so you can get this, because these things, Charles Spurgeon, how many of you know Charles Spurgeon? Okay. Of all the people that memorized the Scripture, loved the Scripture, preached faithfully the Scripture, I mean, Charles is right up there on the top with any other Bible teacher we could list. And he gives us 7 practical tips for reading the Bible, not just to read through the pages, but to really chew it, digest it, and have it transform our lives. And so he goes through and he talks about a lot of these things. One of the things is the 7th point. I'm just going to summarize that for you today. It says, read and tell out. Okay, here's a tip that I didn't come across until more recently. I've been a Christian for over 40 years. So let's say the last decade of my Christian life. I always read the Bible and wanted to listen to what God is speaking to me personally, but I kind of kept it as a treasure in a treasure chest in my heart. And then I started realizing that a lot of times what God wanted to speak to me personally, he also wanted me to share with others. So sometimes I have texted some of you a scripture and I say, you know, the Lord put you on my heart today and I'll text a scripture out to you. Sometimes that comes just right out of my devotion time that I feel like, you know, the Lord just wants this person to know because I was praying for you and I just felt like God wanted to encourage you with that scripture. Not all the time, but I mean, that happens. Or I might be at a hospital visit or in a counseling session and I will share something that God spoke to me that was very powerful in my life personally with others. And so that's an important element of our Bible reading. It helps us to actually reinforce the truth of God personally, but also helps us to bless other people with God's word. If we're blessed, we should give it out. Amen? Like I said, he's got some very practical tips. I could go on and on about them that are very helpful, and you'll get the article next week. Amen? Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this Sunday as we embark on this new journey, on this new year. And Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to hear your voice more clearly in your word in this coming year. Lord, that this year would be a year when you would speak to us in prophetic and personal ways like never before. Lord, I pray that you would revitalize, rekindle, renew our Christian walk like never before. Lord, you have done it before in the past. You've done it in your church and in your people. And here we are, Lord. We are your people. And we are saying, Lord, here I am, speak. Here I am, your servant is listening. Lord, what would you say to us this year? That's our desire. That's what we want to know. And so, Lord, you're searching throughout all the earth looking for those whose heart is loyal towards you so that you, Lord, can be found by them. Lord, help us to find you in new, deep, and more profound ways this year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.